Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
But I'm on the line with this right now. I told you, it's a terrific calm. It's one of many. And sometimes you get in a zone. Marcus Hayes, the last few months, man, has he been knocking out some great columns? Mm-hmm. And his latest one on the Foles effect is one of his best. From Philly.com, Marcus Hayes. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, fellas, ladies, everybody. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Marcus, and I loved your column on Foles and the effect he is leaving behind. You do believe at this point he's gone. Is that right? This is the end?
Well, yeah, it has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, unless Carson has some sort of injury setback in the next few weeks and they determine that he can't play next year.
Right. And is there – you're not by nature or an emotional writer, Marcus – is there emotion associated with Foles leaving after winning us a Super Bowl?
I think there's emotion related to Foles leaving, but I feel none of it because I don't care. But there's a real emotional connection between this town and Nick Foles and this team, and not so much Carson Wentz, and that's not a knock on Carson Wentz, but he hasn't been a part of it. You know, and there's no vulnerability that Carson Wentz exhibits. He's a brand. He's robo quarterback. He's going to say all the right things. Nick Foles is vulnerable. And these other guys, Brandon Brooks is vulnerable. Lane Johnson is vulnerable. Malcolm Jenkins is vulnerable. So you feel with and for these guys. Carson Wentz hasn't figured that out.
Right. Let me just, because you touched on it really well in the column. What lesson or lessons did Nick Foles leave for Carson Wentz, Marcus?
Just play football. Don't overthink it. Don't try to do too much. I mean, we've all watched athletics enough to know when somebody's trying to force it, and Carson tries to force it. And he knows it. Doug Peterson knows it, and the teammates know it. I mean, but Nick Foles understands that there's only so much he can do, so that's what he's going to do. He's part of a team. Carson, he tries to run the team. Carson tries to run the show.
It's very true. There's one other aspect to this, though, that I'm trying to figure out how teachable it is. Composure under pressure, because that's one of the real strengths of Foles. And at this point, Wentz hasn't been real successful in big moments in games. Marcus, is that something he could learn from Foles?
Well, it's something you learn in life, I think. I mean, if you're a parent, if you're a failed athlete, if things haven't gone great for you, if you haven't been told you're perfect, you don't try to be perfect. You don't fear failure as much. Nick Foles fears failure less than anyone I've ever been around.
Yeah.
And there's some magic to that.
Was it always that way, Marcus, when he first came here
in
13?
Oh, no.
He learned that over time, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's been in the league for 4 more years than Nick Foles, or than Carson Wentz.
Right.
And he's gone through lots of stuff. He's lost the job twice. He's taken over via injury 4 times. He's seen. He was Michael Vick's teammate. I mean, think about that. Think about the first guy you see lock up into your quarterback's room is a convicted felon. You know, this is an experience that Carson Wentz hasn't had.
You're
Nick
right.
Foles has a breadth of experience that Carson. He's a different person. They're just two different people. But no, when Nick Foles was young, he thought he was Superman too.
Now, the other part of this thing was really interesting to me in that normally you think a coach teaches a player, but you're saying that Foles left some lessons behind for his coach, Doug Peterson. What did he kind of teach Peterson over the last couple of years?
I think less is more. You don't have to have the whole menu in order to have a great meal. And I believe you'll see more simplified offenses and fewer options for Carson Wentz going forward, because I think that's what Nick Foles liked. Nick Foles liked a few plays that he knew were a few plays and simplified offenses with fewer motions, fewer shifts that everyone could sink their teeth into and refine and perfect, as opposed to everything on the table at the beginning of the season. And these are the things we're going to try, and we're going to outsmart people. We saw the same thing with Andy Reid. Andy Reid has learned that, you know, maybe less is more and let the players execute. But there's a fine line. You can't have too little. We saw what happened with Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. Marcus, I've had the chance for 3 years to talk after every game with Doug Peterson. And I kind of thought I got a pretty good sense for him. And in one line in your column, you pointed something out that had never registered. That the biggest strength Peterson has as a coach is his own humility. Right, Marcus? That's very rare among coaches. Could you talk a little bit about how that helps you to be humble but be in that position of authority?
Well, I'll give you an example. And it's been right in front of us for 2 years, and it didn't resonate with me until I kind of wrote that line either. And I took a line out. Who called Philly Philly? Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson agreed to it. Yep. One of the biggest play calls of either of their lives, and Doug Peterson agrees with his backup quarterback that they're going to run a fourth down play, a trick play, run by a tight end throwing to a quarterback. I mean, if that's not human, and that's not just Doug. That's Doug and Frank Reich on the headset, and Mike Groh, the quarterback's coach. They're all agreeing, okay, yeah, if that's a play he wants to run, let's run it. It's not about us. It's about all of us. And that, to me, is the greatest example of Peterson's humility, that in that moment, in the biggest possible stage, I mean, think if that play fails. Nobody wrote this story yet. Maybe I'll write it sometime. If that play fails, who is Doug Peterson and who is Nick Foles?
Yeah. Oh, I'll even. Marcus, he learned from that play because in Chicago, fourth and goal from the two, it was revealed afterwards that the throw to Tate was the decision of the quarterback, and the coach readily acknowledged it. It's like he wasn't going like, no, I'm a genius. He was like, yeah, it's a working relationship we have and we think together. And most coaches wouldn't have acknowledged that either, would they?
Well, you know, the funny thing about this, and I hate to harp on this, but we harp on it because it's real. These guys are Christians. Christians aren't supposed to lie.
Yep, it's true. I hate to say it, Marcus. At some point, I got to get religious. You're 100% right. I got to ask you this because my own boss raised this at our meeting yesterday. It's been bugging me since then. He said, explain how Cody Parkey could be the GOAT of America for the double doink. And the following week, Alshon Jeffrey drops a ball as the Eagles are driving in for a winning score. And he's not a GOAT. Can you explain how Cody Parkey is a laughingstock of America, but everybody, even in our town, seems okay with what happened with Jeffrey?
Well, there's two things. Number one, Cody Parkey pulled it to begin with.
Yeah.
And number two, Alshon Jeffrey has a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's
Alshon
it, isn't
Jeffrey
it?
Jeffrey played all last season with a torn rotator cuff and made one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history.
Yep.
Alshon Jeffrey has equity. If Alshon Jeffrey had lost the Super Bowl last year with the Eagles and dropped that ball, it would be a totally different story. Maybe not as, you know, vitriolic as it was and black and white as it was as Cody Parkey. Cody Parkey makes the kick, they advance. Alshon Jeffrey catches the ball, it's 3rd and 5. Yep. You know?
I'm going to steal that line and use it a lot.
Equity.
And whenever it comes up, Alshon Jeffrey has equity. I like the line. I wouldn't let you go, Marcus, without getting your position on the latest with Harper and Machado. All right? As we know now, apparently the numbers are a lot lower for Machado than we thought they were. Who should the Phillies sign? Who would be better for this city? What's your read on the situation right now?
Manny Machado's a better baseball player, and neither of them are all that great teammates, you know. So Manny Machado, it's not close. If the price is the same, the value is much, much greater for Machado.
All right, but Marcus, it seems like Gabe Kapler and Harper really bonded during that Vegas visit the other day.
That is all the evidence you need to know that Machado is probably the better guy.
Wow.
Mark, is he opinionated or what? MarcusHatesPhilly.com. Marcus, always a pleasure. Thank you, pal.
See y'all.
That's perfect.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.